Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the NBL News Podcast. And hey, this could be the last episode of the season. By the way, Melbourne played on Sunday, but let's hope it's not. Let's hope this game goes to five games. But I'm here with Aiden and Jackson once again. What's going on, fellas?
Good to be back, you know, took 1 week off, but yeah.
You see, Aiden with the hostage situation yet again, you know, we can't get him out. You know, he comes out once or twice every couple of weeks, but it's difficult. I've been good. Got a late call up to do Clutch Radio on Sunday for Grand Final, and also made my debut for the UBL commentary for La Trobe. So that was an experience that I won't get into.
Are you the next Jack Heverin or Joel Peterson? Because you're getting in the commentary booth.
I want to be John Casey. Okay.
Yes. Yes. All right. The goat of play by play.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing a bit of NBL one next season. Well, this upcoming season as well. So.
Yep. Key Law's women's team is effectively a WNBL team on steroids. Can't say much for the men's team, but we're looking to go all right.
That's good. Talking about the grand final, though, may as well get into it. Game one. As I said, this could be the last episode of the season, considering game two, game three this weekend. We could be really looking at a Melbourne United sweep here, and I really don't have. I really hope that's not the case, but they were just pure dominant over the Jack Jumpers in that game, especially in that second half. They showed they have been the best team in the comp all season long, and they just got so many veterans, so many bodies there that are just so good, and try and maintain one guy, and they've just got so many other guys that can do similar things. So, Jackson, I'll go to you first. What did you think of the grand final? You were commentating it, so you would know play by play of what happened. But what did you make of the game? Any thoughts?
What really stood out to me was how JLA bounced back from getting his pants pulled down by Sam Froehling in the previous series. He had 20 points. I think he had a double-double, couple blocks.
Yeah.
Just a really dominant performance from him in a game which he needed to step up, you know, against a guy like Will Magne and Marcus Lee, who, you know, are great defenders in their own rights, and JLA took advantage of certain matchups with when Krizlovic was on the floor in particular. And also Golding's shot-making ability. Like, there was a shot, catch and shoot from the corner when they had like 15 seconds on the shot clock and didn't need to rush anything, but he shot it anyway and it went in. And, you know, those are the two guys that are really going to need to step up for United in this series. They've got the experience both in finals but also playoff games. And, yeah, Dele played well again. He's on a hell of a run. And, like, Doyle couldn't quite get going for Tassie. Drimmick did his best, but nobody cracked the 20-point mark for Tassie. Nobody had double digits for them at the half. So that's what really stood out to me. And maybe they need a lineup change. Maybe they need a bit more of Majuk Deng, who played well in his limited minutes. But, yeah, and also, like, no Vidanovic minutes as well. Like, no, in terms of, like, meaningful minutes from Vidanovic.
This is his third straight grand final. Give the man more minutes. Come
I
on.
Know. Third straight, third different team.
But I'm going to bring up 2 points you mentioned there. That was JLA. I think he had 18, 10, and 2, right? Or 20, 10, and 2. Those numbers were better than Krizlovic, Lee, and Magne's numbers combined. Rebounds-wise, Magne, Krizlovic, and Lee combined for 10 rebounds, I think. 10 rebounds, and JLA had 11 rebounds, sorry. So he had 20 and 11, JLA. So JLA had more rebounds than all three of those guys combined, and JLA had more points than all those guys combined. So again, we mentioned this last podcast, is that matchup. If JLA can outplay Magne, then they got to win this series. It's really the key matchup for me. The other thing is, you say Doyle. Who you say didn't get enough shot? Doyle and McVay.
Doyle. Drimmick did his best. He had a bit of a run in the third quarter where he hit 3 of 3, like 2 threes and a layup which he should have got a and one foul call on, but it never came. McVay needed to get a bit more touches.
Yeah.
And Crawford didn't show a whole lot, but you know, they're big four, the four guards and forwards that play together a lot. With, you know, the center spot rotating, you know, probably need to play a bit better in game two.
This is what I said to you last week, Jackson, is Crawford has the ball too much in his hands. When he shoots he shot 13 shots in that game, 3 of 13. Yep. That's too many for Crawford. He needs, as I asked Scott Roth in the presser after the game, do you need to find more shots for McVay and Doyle? And didn't really answer it the way I liked it. But I think that's what they need to do. Crawford can't be the guy putting up the most shots for you. Like, that's not going to win you a championship. That's not going to win you games. And as we saw in the other three semifinal series, when he didn't shoot the ball as much and McVay and Doyle were able to shoot the ball more often, those guys dropped over 25 each. They won the game. They've answered the grand final. So, bit of the NBL media saying, oh, Crawford needs to step up. I don't think he's been all that this season. I think he needs to step down, if anything. I think he just needs to play his role of being a pass-first guy, not take as many shots, and give the ball more to Doyle and McVay for them to win more games in this series. Now, Jackson, do you change your predictions at all from what we had originally said? We both said, Melbourne United in 5 games. Has that changed for you at all?
No, it doesn't. I believe Tassie will take back, you know, home court advantage, and they will, you know, well, not take back home court advantage. They will hold home court in both their home games. Same with United, and United would win in 5. That's still my predictions. Tassie have a pretty raucous crowd. And I'm pretty sure it's sold out already, game 2. So
I forget about it.
I think that they'll hold home court. Well, not far out. They'll keep home court.
Yeah.
And go back to Melbourne in game 3.
Yeah. With a bit of a rest as well. I think they'll come back and fight for that game on Friday. And they've got a bit of buzz at the moment, the state of Tasmania in terms of sports. So I think they'll get over.
That's if the stadium deal, you know, doesn't stuff up.
Yeah. Aiden, we didn't hear your predictions last week. I don't know what yours were, and I don't know if they've changed at all. What are your overall thoughts going into this series? What was your predictions? Have they changed after the result of game 1? What do you feel?
Well, no, I also had United in 5. I think it might be 4, but I'm still going to stay with 5. But it goes back to what Simon Mitchell said in a little thing at the round table from the ML. You know, when they said Crawford doesn't win a lot. And, you know, is Crawford the guy you're going to go to if you want to win a game? Probably not. So, you know what? Simon, definitely, I reckon, nailed that on the head. And he was like, you know, sure, they had a winning record going into finals. But it's proving now that he's not the guy you're going to go to in crunch time. Like, he's not. He make shots, don't get me wrong. But when you've got a guy that's shorter than Ilian Deli and most of all, well, the whole United team, basically, it's going to be tough for him to shoot over it most of the time. So, either come off the bench for Crawford and be like Justin Robinson and drop 13 points and 15 points, or I reckon they go big. I reckon they should go big against United. Have Doyle maybe front of point and have another forward in there, like Dang or Sandal. Just don't like to shoot. When McVay isn't shooting. But I'll give Drimmick credit. Drimmick played really well that game.
Yeah, 18 points. He was a top scorer. And argue the best player. So you still say
from the free.
Do you still say Melbourne United in 5 games?
Yeah. I want to see a 5-game series. I don't want to see a...
For me, I don't know if you guys agree here, but more recently, I think Sean McDonald has been a better fit in this this Tassie team than Crawford. Would you start McDonald over Crawford? I feel like they should. I don't know if
then
that's a
again, they
hot
both
take
had
or
over
not.
10 shots. Like, McDonald shot 13, 11 shots. He still didn't.
Yeah,
If
I
he's been a main facilitator, then yeah, I
don't know
would
if
go
that's a
for it.
hot take or not, but I like Crawford's just putting up way too many shots for me. They need the ball out of his hands and maybe they start McDonald. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I reckon you start doing at the point and go big.
Yeah.
Mash it, like, you know, in terms of, like, because, you know, I have two big defenders. Put Trimmick at two, put McVay back to three, and then got a Steindl at the three. Like, one of the dang Steindl should start, in my opinion.
Jackson.
I just say keep it. Keep the
Yeah.
same starting
Yeah.
five that they have currently. Maybe bring Lee back into the starting five instead of Magne, because he was doing a whole lot more coming off the bench than he was starting. So maybe that's a go, but I wouldn't change the main four.
If you're not a win game two, then I think it's sweet. That's my take on that.
Oh, yeah,
Definitely
100%.
game two proof for
Yeah,
you.
I don't think whoever gets an away win will win the series, I think. Yeah, whoever wins away will win the series, no doubt. Whether that's just like you just need to win one game on the road, win your two games at home, and that's it. So yeah, if Tassie win this and then they win against Melbourne, then they win the series. But if Melbourne beat Tassie, it's, as I said, well, I haven't said actually, but 2-0, no one has ever come back from a 2-0 lead in the grand final series. So
And I do get Liam's point of the travel from Perth back to Hobart to Melbourne. Like, I get
yeah.
that, but they should have still been a bit better then.
Yeah, but I think with a bit of rest, they got to come out firing on Friday. And I
Yeah.
think this series still goes to five, and the rest of the four games will be competitive. I hope. I really hope. I really don't. As we said, Jackson, last week, we don't hope it's a sweep or 2-0 going into game three and thinking, oh, this is it. So hopefully we at least go to game
Well, I
four.
wasn't there on game one. Was there a lot of Tassie people there? Because there normally is a lot of people in Tassie
Yeah,
Melbourne base.
the thing in the arena is that I think there's about, this is a real rough estimate. I'd say like 10, 15% in the standing would be Tassie fans, maybe. But it feels like 40, 50% in there is
Yeah, because
Tassie
they're loud.
fans.
No, because I remember the last few years, it's been loud and electric in those in Dagon
Yeah,
Town.
exactly. So, it's great. It's great to see in the NBL because that normally doesn't happen in the NBL where there's a load of away fans that travel together and they're in a group and they start making chants. We've seen it more and more often in the NBL. We saw it with Illawarra, a
It
few
wasn't in Orange
times.
Chat in Melbourne.
No, and there was a bit in game three, I heard. And then in Sydney on their last game when they played Sydney in the regular season, they're obviously chanting at the end there. So I want to see it more and more in the NBL because normally, like in the NBA, you don't see that. So I want to see that in the NBL where away fans travel and you can hear them, you can hear their chants, you can, it's a real kind of great atmosphere, I guess. So I really hope that progresses in the NBL where you're getting a group of away fans traveling to games each week. But let's hope it's a good rest of the series. Anyone got anything else about the grand final? Any hot takes I want to make for it for the rest of the series?
I'm gonna say Doyle, not triple double, but close triple double this week. Like a 25-8-8
Oh
Friday.
yeah, big game from him. Also, who's your grand final MVP?
Ooh, I'm gonna go with my man Shea. I know
Really,
he. I
Shea
know.
Healy?
I don't, like, given that the voters are not based on anyone else, but there's, you know, people watching the game. They won't have the bias of, oh, this person's got this X, you know, man. No one's gonna, like, it won't be as bad as maybe Glover or maybe should have won last year. I think it'll be better.
I like Shea. That'd be nice. I wouldn't mind Shea Healy as a grand final
Just know
MVP.
that
That'd
he
be a
won't
nice
say anything
little.
in his speech, and that's fine.
Player movements. There were a lot this past week.
This past 24 hours, if anything.
I guess so. This past 24 hours, a few Olgan bombs here and there. There's definitely more to come this off season for sure. Free agency hasn't even started, and it's off to a bang. And I asked Jackson last week, will this be the quietest free agency period ever? Or maybe I asked you guys a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember, but I asked you guys, will this be the quietest free agency period ever? And we've already got like four or five key signings before free agency has even begun. So all the grand
all I want
final
to
series
say
has
is,
even
if you
finished.
don't
So
already have your organ notifications on, turn it back on. That's all I'm going to say. If you haven't got
turn
them
it
on
back on.
already, turn it
Exactly.
back on. It's time.
Yeah. But we might as well start with the big one. Well, big in a lot of ways. The largest deal reported by Organ in NBL history. Xavier Cooks returning to Sydney on a 3-year deal. Goes to the Kings with Brian Gorger now as head coach, and it was inevitable that Cooks was going to go back to the Kings. Like, Gorger went over there to see him play in Japan in the East Asia Super League final that they won. And, he's a free agent. He's not going back to the NBA. He had his stint. The only thing, some people may have thought that, you know, Japan money would be too good. He stays out there.
It was
But,
show me the money. It was
but,
more show
the,
me the money.
With Brian Gorgian at the helm, he is known for paying a little bit of cash for the players he wants. So he gets Cooks on the biggest deal in NBL history. Would it be nice to know the figure or a rough estimate of the figure?
I've got a number. Damien Martin went on SEN radio yesterday and said he was told by somebody it's around 1.2 a year.
1.2 mil? I don't believe that. Over a
million? Yeah, I don't as well, but he
he's
said
taking
it on
Buddy
radio
Franklin
and I'm
money.
just relaying information that was said.
This is what I want to know. I feel like he can't go out there. Love Olin, but he can't go out there and say biggest deal in NBL history and not put a figure
and
on
drop
it.
the figure.
I want a
at least
figure.
An estimate
Because he
figure,
just...
not even like... What's
You have to
it's
know...
over 1 mil. It's
You have
gonna
to
be
know
over 1 mil.
every NBL contract ever as well. So he's saying he got paid. He's getting paid more than Dele, paid more than Baines was.
That's right. Dele got paid a lot. I forgot about that.
Paid more
he
than
would have been
Cotton.
He would have been paid more than Cotton. I remember it's actually in our intro still. Cotton's price figure. What
that
is
was
he? When
like
Lucky
two
Reed shouts
contracts
out
ago as
the
well.
500K man. He's paid, what was it, $600,000, and he's worth every penny. It's in our intro, I'm pretty sure. So
yeah.
If it's in the outro, someone tell us what it is because we don't remember.
No, it's I think it's 600. So yeah, 1.2 mil. That is
that's double price at the time.
Absurd.
Jeez,
if that is true, that is absurd, and I think that's a bit of a overpaid figure. But
I
if
just
that's
wouldn't want to
what
be
you
the finance person in charge of the Kings at the
if
moment
that's
because
what you have to pay to keep the best local talent in the league, so be it. You know, it's good that we have to pay these guys, and they are still, like, we are able to pay these guys these figures and they stay in this league. Because you say 10 or 15 years ago, the best players outside the NBA, the best Australian players outside the NBA, were all playing in Europe. Thinking of Brad
Brock
Newell,
Rodin,
David Anderson, David Barlow, Nate Yawe,
even Joe Ingles.
Even Joe Ingles. So all these guys, they were all playing in Europe. There was at least four or five guys in the Euro League 10 years ago. Now, the only guy playing overseas is Nick Kerr. Well, other than Nick Kerr and Thornmaker are the only Aussies right now playing outside.
Brock Rodin.
And Brock Monan, but he's obviously wanting to come back to Australia now. So,
which we'll touch on later.
Yeah. So it's looking like next season, the only guys, Australian guys, will be Nick Kay and Thornmaker. So it shows how, and who knows, maybe Thornmaker comes back to the NBL this offseason.
Hot take,
yeah, Nick
in.
Kay. But it just shows how far the NBL's gone in the last 10 years, not only developing talent, but also keeping the best talent outside the NBA in the league. You don't really count guys like Jack White and King and McCurr Maker because they're playing in the G League, but it just shows how good the NBL is that we're able to keep our best talent in this league.
It's similar
You
to
guys
what
got any?
Joe Archer did when he came went to China for like 1 year. I don't know how much Joe's on, probably
Yeah,
won't be at the
but
same.
we're able
But
to bring him back. And yeah, that's just how far the NBL's progressed, which is awesome to see. So hopefully it stays that way. Fortunately, we have to pay guys like Cook, so I don't know if he's worth 1.2 million. We have to pay him that amount because Japan's offering him probably that amount too, a little bit over that. So, is what it is. But what are you guys? You guys got any thoughts on this signing, Jackson? Do you think it's overpaid for Cooks?
I think it's overpaid in terms of what the salary cap is. Like, your best player should not be taking up more than half the I mean, I know the whole marquee, you know, thing where it's like half it isn't there.
Oh.
But like,
he's definitely a marquee. I was going to say, there's no way.
Oh yeah, no way. He's not a marquee.
Sorry to put it out there, everyone, but if he's on a marquee, then I don't know what they're doing.
But, like, it's an overpay in terms of what the salary cap is, but I don't think it's an overpay for what players should be getting paid in this league. Because the NBL for a long time now is still way down financially in comparison to other leagues around the world.
Yep.
And if this is the way which players are finally going to get paid, good job. But, like, you look at a team like Cairns, who aren't going to be able to pay somebody that amount of money, not even their team will get, you know, close to that figure. I mean, they'll, you know, the salary cap is what, 2 point something? So
yeah, nearing 3 mil now next season.
Yeah, that's good. But
depends,
like,
on the new broadcast deal.
Yeah.
But still, their team, their best player won't even get paid close to that. So it's interesting. Like, it does mean that teams will be willing to spend more, I feel. Like, if Cooks is going to be getting paid that much, I feel like, oh, let's say Nick Kay, he wants to come back, some team will chuck out decent contract to his way, or like,
that's probably why Brock Modem's coming back. Let's
even
be real.
Brock Modem,
yeah. I don't think Modem's gonna get that much money.
No, not that level, but like higher end in current players. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but again, I think Cooks is the MVP of the league, won two championships, went off to the NBA for a couple games. People still hated him. You know, people still, you know, get upset by the NBL when they promote that, you know, Cooks went from the NBL to the NBA. It's like, he still went there. He still played games in the NBA. He still had the games he played at the end of the season. He didn't stink it up. He wasn't the worst player on the court each time, you know. He made the NBA, and that's an achievement that should be celebrated. I think it's just casual tall poppy syndrome still in Australia, where someone successful in the NBA or a guy from the NBL goes to the NBA and people go, oh, he's not that good. He sucked in the NBL. He can't do this. He can't do that. You know, it's the same with a lot of guys overplaying the NBA still. You know, guys like Ben Simmons and Giddy, there's still Australians that don't think they're very good. So it's just a casual tall poppy syndrome. But Cooks, I don't know if he deserves 1.2 mil, but he deserves to be one of the highest paid players in the league, no doubt about it.
Good for his family too, because he's got a young daughter. Don't forget, you know, Doco. We saw like that's only like I'm not saying the money's still going to owe to her, but like it's good for the family situation as well.
Yeah. Moving on, another player movement. Christian Doolittle re-signed on a 1-year deal from Perth. For me, I thought that was a bit too early to re-sign him. I think Olgan said that they agreed to it a few weeks ago. Just wanted to announce it at the end of the season, but I'm not too sure if... Look, Doolittle was great for Perth, and he fit in well, but with Alex Sarr now going, I would have thought they maybe get another big behind Pinder. Maybe they still do that to replace Usher, but I don't know going forward if he's the right fit to win you a championship. Great player, no doubt about it, but with how the rest of the roster is stacking up for next season, could be a bit undermanned in that big department. And I would have thought they maybe scour the import market a little bit more in the offseason to see who's out there. Jackson, I want to know your thoughts on this one first, though.
I will say, there's nobody for the price range that you can get Christian Doolittle at that can defend all five positions as well as he does.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You got somebody that can guard one through small ball five and hold his own in the post against big guys. Like, it's a no-brainer for me to bring him back. Like, he didn't have a great season shooting the three. I think he shot under 30%. But he does have that in his arsenal. And the main thing that with Doolittle is that he did not have a preseason with Perth.
I was going to say, at least he has a preseason this time.
This time he'll have a preseason. He'll be fully worked into the offense from day one and the defense from day one. And in terms of Perth's roster construction, like, they can use that final marquee spot on a big, right? They don't, you know, they can get a guy like a Marcus Lee off the bench.
That's what I was saying. What kind of input would you go after? Like a Derek
and like
Harden,
you can try and get
Franks.
A next star. You can try and get a next star three who can start, like a Montas or you know, throwing a name out here, Hugo Gonzalez, who's currently playing for Real Madrid. Somebody like that.
Or
And
the
he can
guy
start.
that had in the preseason, Nolan, what's his name?
Nolan Trope. He's a point guard, though.
Yeah.
That's a bit different.
Yeah.
And, like, who knows what they're doing with the Webster brothers at the moment. So they can either be taken up or not taken, and Perth can go their own route with their final two local spots. But when it comes to Doolittle, I'm confident that, you know, there's not a better defender in this league that can defend the positions that he can. Like, Shaley's the best defender in the league, but he can only guard guards. Will Magno's a great rim protector, but Doolittle's the best, you know, versatile defender in this league, and it's a no-brainer for me for Perth to bring him back.
Yeah, I think Ely's the best perimeter defender, Magne's the best rim protector, and Doolittle's the best versatile defender in the league. So it's a good pickup, but I think they need to replace Usher with an import five off the bench, and maybe give Ben Henschel some more minutes. I don't know, Aiden.
What kind of import like you after like foot five, like Derek Pardin and Robert Franks? What kind of like mold are we picking?
Yeah. I honestly would have liked a DJ Hoge next to Pinder again instead of Doolittle, as we saw with how they worked in Cairns last season. I thought that would have worked well. A bit more scoring. I think that's what they missed. And think they'll still miss. This is looking at their roster right now. They're still missing that second scoring option. You know, that Tarico White sort of guy that won them championships next
Vic
to Cotton.
Vic Law worked really well with Cotton. They didn't make the postseason, but
that's my thing with Doolittle. He's not a scorer. He's not a, you know, I think he had maybe a 20-point game in one of the playoff games, didn't he?
Yeah, which, game and, three.
Yeah. So, but on a consistent basis, he's not a true scorer. And that's why I would have liked maybe a DJ Hoge kind of guy there. Or as you said, and Robert Franks type of guy, Vic Law, as you said, a power forward that can score the ball really well and also defend at a high rate. So, I don't
maybe
know.
Robert Franks type off the bench, not Robert Franks himself, because Robert
Franks
is Perth,
but someone a little bit bigger. I don't know. Interesting where they go from here. But
I will say, though, Doolittle worked a whole lot better at small forward than he did at power forward early on.
Yeah,
when they moved him to a small forward and brought in Hyrum Harris into the starting five, and Hyrum was guarding the four.
Yeah.
It worked a whole lot better both offensively and defensively. So they could get a power forward who can slide down like a Law or, you know, somebody who's a bit more versatile. Like, you know, there's a whole lot of options that they can go. And the thing is, they can get a 4-5 as well who can play next to Ender. So
which I think they should get a 4-5. Yeah. Like a Franks.
Nick K.
Nick K.
Perth fans can dream, Jason.
They're gonna need to pay 1.3 mil to get him. I don't know.
not even 1. Anyway,
Sam Menenga is a final player movement of this last week, and that was an interesting one. Because I didn't know you could do this, where a team like New Zealand could buy out someone that's already on contract in the NBL. So Sam Menenga was in Cairns. I think he was contracted for next year. New Zealand said, "We'll pay you this sort of amount." And Olgan said it's practically the closest we get to trades in the NBL. So you're basically trading Sam Menenga for cash considerations.
Which I've never heard in my life in NBL, but anyway.
but it makes sense. Sam Menenga wants to go home to New Zealand. Good move for the Breakers, getting more local talent. They should have signed him last season, but they didn't. That should be on them. But they get him anyway at the end of the day. And now Cairns are in a little bit of a, again, they signed these, they find some great young guys. Think of Warnerberg, Menenga, Armstrong.
Mayen.
And it just, yeah. And they, and again, Menenga is not just their imports they're losing now. It's their young guys like Sam Menenga that they have for 1 year, have a solid season, expecting to have a huge jump. They lose them to New Zealand back home. So sucks for Cairns. And it's really hard to see how they continue going. You look at Illawarra, though, they're able to still have a guy like Sam Froling as their main local piece, sign three quality imports, use the Asian rule, have a next star, and find those other local guys like the Will Hickeys of the league that help contribute in a lot of ways. So Sam Nenga goes to Breakers. What are you guys' thoughts on where Cairns should go from this offseason, and I guess the whole Meninga signing in general. Aiden, oh, you go first, man.
Well, you would think Cole would be re-signed by now if they were trying to get him. Like, Cole, I reckon, in my opinion, would be re-signed if they had the funds. But by all sounds, like, he's going to go explore free agency. Mayen as well, who's out of a contract. I thought they might have, you know, tried to snatch him up before people want to approach him. But he looks like he's out of the look, this team, I don't know who they're building around. Like, yeah, we could say Taran, but they ain't a lot of plan. This reminds me of Cairns 2021 when they were injury prone and all the imports like kind of got injured and left, like Cam Oliver left, but Charlie didn't really play. I don't know. They just, I think they're going to struggle a lot this year. I don't have, like, I know we don't know what the roster will look like, but the management up there right now is not what it used to be, at least.
Jackson?
Well, the great thing about this offseason is there's going to be a whole lot more college guys coming out than there have been in previous years. Like, I look at a guy like Alex Dukas, who should have come out last year, but he used his COVID rights to have a fifth season at St. Mary's.
Yeah.
And also, like, Liu Pepe at Marymount, and Robertson at Portland.
Yep.
And a whole bunch of other guys, like
even Alex Condon.
Yeah.
Condon's only played 1 year, but he could be a next star.
Who's that American with an Australian?
Elijah Pepper, averaged Elijah 20 Pepper. Points. He's one of the top scorers. Jaden Stone is number one. He's in the transfer portal, who also averaged 20 points in college. I think there's a few more I'm probably forgetting. Kwani, different Kwani Kwani, used to play at California, University of California.
Yep.
So there's a few guys coming out of college, and sure, Cairns can always go that model where they find the college guys and just try their best to develop and keep them. But even then, that model now is kind of...
Didn't work this year.
Yeah, I guess it didn't work this year, but they're also losing those guys after 1 year now. So it's not just imports, it's now their college guys they're signing. So
I will say it worked the previous year when they had better imports.
Yeah.
Like when they weren't paying Bull Quell that amount of money, and when they had DJ Hogue, and when they had Shannon Scott and McCall, and that, you know, trio really worked together.
Yeah.
And they also had Pinder at the time, so bit different situation.
There's no doubt they always find three quality imports. Josh Roberts last season, but they had to go cheap because they're paying Bull Quell and everything. But I think if they have Taron Armstrong, Sam Warnenberg, and three quality imports, that's still a really solid starting five. Find the next star. And one guy, I don't know what his price range is, what his marketplace is in the offseason, but one guy I'd really like in Cairns behind Taron Armstrong is Mitch McCarron. I think he'd be a perfect kind of leader in that team, return back to Cairns. I think they're also missing that as well, that kind of veteran kind of leader in that group. They local definitely leader. Missed that. They definitely missed that last year, as we saw. Their captain, Tahir McCall, had a falling out with the coach. And when your captain has a falling out with the coach, it does not end well. So I think that's what they are missing.
They lost Majuk Jeng and what's his face? He left. I'm blank. Mirko. Like
some veteran pieces there. Yeah, exactly. So and they didn't have really any local guys over 25 other than Bull Quall, I'm pretty sure. So,
but Bull Quall was in his, like, what, second season? Third?
Yeah, third year. So that's, I feel like that's what they're missing, is that veteran leader. I think Mitch McCarron would be a perfect role in that Taipans team next season. So hopefully they get a guy like him in the team and sign three quality imports and next star and bring back Rand. They'll be good to go. They've still got a Calder Gack, who I think is got a lot of potential. So there's still hope for this Taipans team. They've only got three or four guys contracted, so there's a long way to go. Who knows who they sign? But yeah. You got anything on Meninga as well?
I reckon if they bring back Finn Delaney, it'll be good. I reckon him and
he's
Finn
He is contracted.
He is contracted? Okay. Yeah, him and Finn would be a good mentor for Meninga, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like it. Olympic Shaw was announced this morning as well. The Boomers drew Canada. That's one team we know. And they're not the Canada of old anymore. They're not the teams where their best player was Corey Joseph or Kem Birch. They have Arguably, the bit probably got to have, well, other than USA, the best backcourt going into this Olympics. Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Not only that, they got maybe RJ Barrett
Dylan
and Andrew
Brooks.
Wiggins has got to play. Dylan Brooks, Kelly Olynyk. Like, that team is stacked now. And probably missing a lot of guys there still. Still some young guys like Benedict Mathurin and guys like that. So
Nembhard as well.
Canada are stacked now. It's not like what they used to be. So that's a tough team in our group. The other two are yet to be determined. There's still Olympic qualifiers. And it looks like from the groups that have been drawn into our group, there's still groups in our groups. It's a bit confusing. But the winner of the Olympic qualifying tournament that's been planned in Greece, it's either one of Slovenia, New Zealand, Croatia, Egypt, Greece, or the Dominican Republic.
Let's go Egypt.
I'm guessing it's either we will want New Zealand to make it there, don't we?
Yeah.
Imagine Australia, New Zealand, and group
Yeah,
stage
surely you
group.
think both beat Canada, you know, because Canada don't play FIBA. Who knows?
But it looks like Slovenia or Greece will probably be, maybe even Croatia, but Slovenia and Greece will be one of the teams that make it there. And we know Slovenia last season. We know Luka Doncic. That's got to be a tough draw, as always. If it's Greece, Giannis, who the hell has got to defend him from the Boomers without Ben Simmons, especially? Who knows? And the other team that will be in will be the winner of the Olympic qualifying tournament in Spain. It's one of Spain, Lebanon, Angola, Finland, Poland, or the Bahamas, who are quite stacked now, the Bahamas too. But I think Spain, obviously,
Bahamas.
they're a powerhouse. Yeah, Bahamas, they got DeAndre Ayton, Eric
No, I
Gordon,
forgot
Buddy
about that.
Hield.
I forgot.
They may
Clay
even add Klay
Thompson.
Thompson. They may have Klay Thompson. So
They may
they
have
may
Keanu Pinder. Who knows?
they may make it. They may make it. Who knows? Over Spain. But either way, it looks like Slovenia and Spain, they've been one of the two of the best European teams for the last few years. Grip of death. Do you guys agree?
Go on. No, I reckon
Yeah.
South Sudan are in a group of death as well. I think they've got. A lovely South Sudan friends. I don't know. They're also in a pool of woes, but who knows? Then again, most of these like Canada haven't like those players are all talented. Don't get me wrong, but to see them play FIBA is gonna be very interesting. Like they still gotta like adjust a little bit. Like shooting will be fine. It's the defensive rules I reckon that we might
Mate,
beat them on.
did you watch the World Cup? Did you see how good Canada was?
Yeah, but we
They
can beat
were
them. It's fine.
good.
Fine.
Yeah,
Believe.
but like. If we get drawn Spain and Slovenia, I think.
We hate both of these,
Oh my God.
especially Spain.
Especially.
The
Look,
PTSD has kicked in when
but
you stay.
somehow, like, we could get given a Dominican Republic with Karl-Anthony Towns and Al Horford, or a Finland with Markkanen, who we beat at the World Cup. So it's interesting.
We just have to go big this year, like really big, in terms of forget the guards. We need like three centers, like we've talked about.
Yeah. It's just going to be interesting because, like, you look at the other groups and you have a look at who we were not playing, and it's like, okay, we don't have USA in the groups, but that means, you know, if we come second or third, we're going to be playing a first in the other groups, and that may be USA. That may be
France.
who's in the other groups, France. Yeah. So
Yeah.
it's interesting.
The thing with the Olympics now, every team's good. Because the teams right
Yeah.
now, or country, I should say, Australia, Canada, France, we know how good they are. Germany, they won the World Cup last year. Japan is solid. They got a couple NBA guys. Every country has a couple NBA guys now, at
It's
least
gonna be good
two.
to watch, though.
That I don't think that's ever happened in the Olympics where every country's got to have at least two NBA guys.
Well, South Sudan might.
South Sudan, that yeah, they should. At least bring kind of guys. Who else is in there? USA, Serbia with
Yep.
Jokic. So every team, every country is gotta be unreal going out. And even the in Group B, I think Latvia may make it. And we know how good Latvia were in the World
I was
Cup.
like, Latvia were a
And
dark
they didn't
horse.
even have the best player, Kristaps Porzingis. So if they add him to what they were last year, this is going to
Have
be
won. They could have won the whole thing.
any team is just got to be hard. It's got to be, there's no easy fixture in the Olympics now.
No.
So you just got to beat the best to win it. Right. Rapid five. Let's finish it off. Unless you guys got anything else to say from the past week. No news?
Nothing interesting.
Nothing? No?
All right. Oh, congrats to the Flyers. Sorry.
Yeah, Southside Flyers winning the WNBL championship. Lawrence Jackson, 7 championships, by the way, in the WNBL. Unreal. The GOAT for a reason. Five rapid questions. Can Jack McVay get a two-way contract in the NBA?
Yes.
Can he? Yes. Will he? No.
How many championships do Gorge and Cooks win in the next 3 years? NBL championships, that is.
I want to be safe and smart. One.
They should win two. So I'm going to.
Does Mitch Buchanan stay in the NBL next season?
Yeah. I think he asked this a few weeks ago, but yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Can Mitch Creek be the best player on a championship-winning squad?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We know how you feel this.
Should the season start earlier so the grand final series doesn't clash with the start of the NRL and AFL season?
But then if we start early, we're going to clash with the AFL finals and NRL finals. Like,
Exactly.
there's no win-win. So I'm
So.
going to say no. No. Sorry.
No, but they should be playing more games each week. So it's a shorter season, but it's the same amount of games played.
More double hitters on the one day, so I reckon it's
Exactly.
got
Yeah.
well, yeah. No, and I agree with that, Jackson, 100%.
And like you can play three games on a Saturday and a Sunday, like they did
Yeah,
it a couple
during
years ago.
daylight saving. Yeah, daylight saving. Yeah, you can do free games. Yeah, it's just
Yep.
venues now. Yeah.
Yep, 100%. That's it. And that could be our last episode if Melbourne United do sweep the Jack Jumpers. Let's hope it's not the case. Let's hope this series goes a bit longer than we hope. But if it is, thank you guys for everyone that has listened to the podcast
Sort
this
of hostage
season.
situations and yeah.
Yeah, the hostage situations. But there'll definitely be some off-season episodes. We might still upload one next week if Melbourne do win the championship. Probably still will. Who knows? But you guys got anything to add before we sign off?
We'll talk about the Olympics as well. We're going to be everything.
Oh yeah, we'll probably have a few episodes during the Olympics in the off
March
season.
Madness is starting. Go
Yep.
Furphy in Kansas. Go Proctor and Duke. Go all the St. Mary's boys.
Especially St. Mary's. That is always Australia's adopted team in
Australia's
March
team.
Madness. Yes, it's always Australia's team going into March Madness. So shout out to St. Mary's.
Shout out Randy Bennett.
Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in for another episode, and hopefully we see you guys for another week.